B-Pod Studios.
What's up?
They work.
Arr, matey.
Well, you're at work. Scott Zolak.
I think it's a disaster.
Mark Bertrand.
I know. I want to get it out.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
God, I see headlights. I made it down the coast in 17 hours, picking me a bouquet of dogwood flowers, and I'm hoping for Riley. I can see my baby tonight.
What is this, some kind of a treat for Macomb because he's been killing it today?
Let's see REM do this cover, Hardy.
They wouldn't. They wouldn't. You want to know why? Because it's trite. You know who covers Wagon Wheel? Bands with no imagination and no thought to...
This was a solo project. This was a solo project.
Whatever it is. Whatever it is.
This is what's going to happen to Losing My Religion. I didn't know this was a cover either. So people are going to think that the real Losing My Religion is Hootie and the Blowfish. It's going to happen.
Did Jim miss the cover week?
Yeah, I was out.
Oh, you missed that one, Jim. Somebody tweeted me earlier today like... A little late to the cover conversation, but I'm like, what was our cover? Oh, that's right. What cover is better than the original? That was the conversation.
I am not kidding. That topic, this is completely serious. That topic generated more feedback to this show than any other topic that I've ever discussed on this show or on this station ever.
Pizza Flakegate?
Yep. Just in terms of volume of phone calls, tweets, emails. It was off the charts. Let's see what I did there.
Yeah. Chart toppers.
Yes.
All right.
More feedback and obviously varied takes on the issue.
Couldn't even read all the emails and tweets I got.
It was insane.
It's just one of those. What are you going to do? They give over a day.
There was a day where I got over 300 emails on that. Like, what the hell? I can't read these.
What was McCone was here too, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what did he contribute?
Wagon Wheel.
Yeah, Wagon Wheel. That was great because the original is
Any others?
Best Country Solo Performance 2013 Grammy. Thank you very much, Hardy.
Well, the Grammys are, as we all know, I believe it was Jethro Tull's album Crest of a Knave beat out the Metallica Black Album for best metal album the same year. We talk about the Oscars and people get robbed at the Oscars. Grammys do it every year and they have done it more consistently than anyone else. Now I got to look. That Jethro Tull album beat out who for?
What's your second favorite Darius Rucker solo tune, Macomb?
I mean, it's hard to pick just one.
He must just spit out his water back there. Is it like Michael Bolton? You know, you like the whole catalog? Love it all.
Exactly. It's more about the experience of going to a concert. You know what I mean?
Less about the music.
Yeah, you
got
to see him live. Yeah.
Yeah. It's less about the music.
Oh.
More about the drinking.
Here it was.
It's not wrong.
1989, Jethro Tull beat out Metallica, Iggy Pop, and Jane's Addiction, among others, for best hard rock heavy metal recording. That Jane's Addiction is probably nothing shocking. It was probably that. You know what? It could have been Ritual. It could have been the one with Ben Caught Stealing in 89. But no, they give it to Jethro Tull. So now here it is, some 30 years later, and McCone is citing the Grammys as the gold standard for what is good and what is not.
Headed down south to the land of the pines. I'm thumbing my way into North Carolina. Staring up the road and pray to God I see headlights. I made it down the
This doesn't sound like the original Old Crow Medicine Show version, though. Oh, maybe it is.
So rock me, mama, like a wagon wheel.
This needed to be covered.
It's a standard. It's like...
We've already covered this.
I know.
So Dylan wrote the song. Years later...
And it's so
the guys
overdone
from Old Crow
so
Medicine Joe finished the song. Then they put it out.
Right.
And then within... That song was out maybe a couple of years, right? It wasn't very long before Darius Rucker snatched it up. And gets none of the money for writing it. He gets only performance.
You may be asked to, there are signs up from like venues all over the country. No wagon wheel. You may be asked to stop playing and risk not getting paid. This is how people feel about wagon wheel. It's like, for God's sakes, no. It's like absolutely no stairway. It's like someone who picks up a guitar and starts doing the intro stairway. Whatever you, for God's sakes, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't start playing wagon wheel, you unimaginative dolt. And what does Darius Rucker do? He records
that felt like
it
a personal
and,
attack.
And Tim McCone loves it. Laps it up. Oh, that speaks to me. That music gets me to my soul. What soul? Look at you. Look at
again,
you.
I don't think you get it. I think it's kind of but like right over the head.
Yeah, see, here's
you
the thing.
You have mayonnaise Hardy's- sandwich. Look at you.
Hardy doesn't want to get it. That's the difference there. Oh, man. Let's go to Lorraine in New Hampshire.
There's
Lorraine.
Nothing to get.
Lorraine.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Good.
I know I haven't called in a while. It's been kind of crazy.
But, oh, wait a second. You're on a cell. You're in the car, Lorraine. You're always at home when you call.
Well, I know. I am in the car.
Where are you driving? Yeah, picking up all those nacho ingredients?
No, I'm going to go get an ice cream, actually.
Yeah, why not? It's 1 o'clock on a Tuesday. Who wouldn't go get an ice cream?
Right.
Rock and roll.
There's so many things I'd like to talk about, you know, like all the football stuff, but that's another call.
Yeah, pick three.
You were talking about, you know, the NBA and the things on their jerseys.
Yes.
And I'm really against that. It's their place of employment. I cannot wear something to my place of employment that could be deemed in any shape, manner, or form as political. Whether I was, you know, I'm a retired school teacher, or I'm a waitress, or I'm somewhere else working.
But their bosses said
so
they could.
I don't think it's appropriate.
But you could if your boss said it was okay.
Yeah, but their bosses said it was okay. The league said it was okay, and these guys. These guys were being asked to go and do their jobs in a much different way than they had ever been asked to do it before. They said, okay, well, this kind of puts us out. And plus, there's some other stuff going on in the country right now that not only I care about, but people watching us are going to think we are ignoring if we don't address it somehow. Can we address it? Sure, you can address it. Thank you. Oh, wait, you can only address it these ways. Well, that's really not what we agreed upon. That's why they're a little put off by it. I have no problem. What's the problem with the legal? Lorraine does. And I understand it's, you know, different rules for those guys. But, you know, professional athletes have all kinds of different rules that and accommodations made for them at their jobs that we don't get in ours.
Yeah, including the fact that they're going to get tested routinely just because they're there and they're at work.
Lorraine, did you get a COVID test yet? I haven't had one. Those guys are going to get it every day.
In fact, the Patriots will go to work every day in Foxborough and take a test.
Yeah.
Whether they are showing symptoms or not, they will have no trouble finding a test and having access to the testing that many people do not have access to right now. No, I mean, it's to compare you or I to a professional athlete or an everyday job to a professional athlete's, it doesn't usually work.
Well, if we are going to, then the list of things that are afforded to them that are not afforded to us, putting something on their shirt for the whole world to see is going to be way down my list of things that, hey, I want that too. No, there's some other things I'd like that they get first.
Bruce is in Boston. Hey, Bruce.
Hey, gentlemen. First things first.
Hello? Bruce, call us back. You hit a bad spot there. Call us back. 617-779-0985 is the phone number. If you want to call and rip on Tim McCone for his love of Darius Rucker, you're free to do that as well. That's what we're all about here.
Mia just tweeted us. I'm literally getting a headache from all the effing hootie. That's what you're doing to people.
See that?
That's one of the best parts of his solo concerts, when he goes country with the Hootie. He plays some Hootie at the end.
Chuck says Wagon Wheel kind of sucks.
I think you suck, Chuck.
Nicholas says,
"Wow." When you've crossed Hootie, you've crossed McCone.
Yeah, Casey says, "Why doesn't a Hootie just cover 'We Built This City' and get it over with?" There you go.
I got a question about
I love Starship and all the stuff that they meant in the counterculture era, that, and coming up, and Grace Slick and everything that they meant to rock and roll. So we're going to cover one of their songs. Which one? "We Built This City."
Yeah.
Really? Not White Rabbit? You're not going to? Oh, all right.
617-779-0985 is the telephone number as we prepare for the Celtics season to resume. How many days now? 10 days away from the start of the Celtics season?
Today is the 31st. 21st, yeah, 10 days.
10 days from now, they begin the season against the Bucks. They re-begin this, a new season. Part two. Is it finals
resume
or bust for the Celtics? We'll get to that and more of your calls next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is how the pros.
That's great. Thank you, Beef. You're proud of yourself.
Do Sports Talk Radio.
Your microphone is down. Hey, Marconi.
Just hit the button.
Turn the mic up.
I'm just,
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
We built this city. We built this city on rock and roll. We built this city. We built this city on rock.
Cone's bobbing his head. I saw it. He was actually bobbing his head, and he wasn't doing it ironically.
I could see.
That's the equivalent of a McCone rock out. This. Say you
don't know me. Just a slight... I think Darius could do something with this. I think you're right, Hardy.
Talented guy. Celtics thought for you from DJ Bean.
Ooh.
Right? A name we don't say often enough around here.
I love DJ's background on BST. Have you seen it?
Oh, books.
Yeah, it's just a piece of paper that says books.
Books. DJ Bean says this. He says, "For all the expecting of the unexpected, you should not change your expectations for the Celtics. It's NBA finals or bust." You're right. We talked about it a lot. We talked about a lot of teams in terms of who their duo was during the offseason. As it's become a thing for two great players to either team up, the Clippers, the Lakers, or be brought together. We guess Kemba Walker and Jason Tatum, or maybe Tatum and Brown, knowing full well there was a possibility for the Celtics to just be a team with a lot of stars. And that's what they are. Remember when Paul Pierce said, "The last month, the C's had the best starting lineup in the league. If he had just kept that to the East, he wouldn't have gotten nearly as much flack." Walker and Tatum are all-stars. Brown could have been. And it goes on to say 20-point scorers, all three of them, averaging more than 20 points. You know, provides this team with the scoring options they need. I would just ask this in the beginning. Is that the expectation? Was that the expectation for everyone, Celtics fan-wise?
See, and this is why I didn't have a problem with the DJ Bean thing, but when you start with a premise that I don't agree with, then I kind of have a problem with it. From the beginning, my expectation for the Celtics was not NBA Finals.
It wasn't for me either. We discussed this a little bit yesterday.
No. Well, and if you start the tape from the beginning... Going back to last year, I thought they don't even finish with as good a record as they had the year before, even with the, you know, the awfulness of Kyrie removed from the situation, I'm not a huge believer in addition by subtraction. I thought they were going to be worse. I thought just you're removing Al Horford and Kyrie Irving from the equation. You're putting Kemba Walker in, but I didn't know enough to say that he was going to immediately gel. I certainly didn't see the ascension of Jason Tatum coming on this last season. So if you go all the way back to the beginning, no, it was not an NBA Finals or bust. All right, so you change your opinion based on evidence presented throughout the course of the season, getting better and better and better. And they look really good, and Tatum looks good. I still didn't think they were getting past Milwaukee.
Okay, this is what I was going to get to. Which team scares you the most? McCone?
Milwaukee in the East, yeah.
Jim, T-Bone, who scares you for the most for the Celtics? I think we're going to be unanimous.
Just in the East, you're saying?
Yeah, in the East.
Philly kind of scares me with the talent.
That's okay, but do they scare you the most?
If these Ben Simmons videos of him shooting threes and playing, he's going to play power forward for them instead of trying to play point guard now, and Horford off the bench, yeah, that kind of scares me.
All right, Jim ruined this all because I know Hardy's going to say Milwaukee.
T-Bone?
Milwaukee.
Yep.
Milwaukee.
It's Milwaukee for most people.
Yeah.
Most people say Milwaukee is the team that you look at and say that's a tough series for the Celtics.
Yep.
And this is where DJ says the Bucks are awesome defensively, but they have one transcendent player and an additional star. Boston's starting five is better. I'm going to stop right there.
Well, this is the starting five conversation.
I don't care that their starting five is better. Is that true? Yes. What wins in the league, the transcendent player or the starting five?
The former.
Yeah. The player. And that's why they scare me.
See,
and by the way, Philly does scare me, but not as much as Milwaukee. Philly's good.
And I was interested in and appreciated the people who went through and went position by position on every starting five in the league and made the argument that the Celtics have the best starting five. I get it. You give every player a rank, right, in terms of their status in the league. And when you do that with the starting five of the Celtics, you can make a strong case that they have the overall best starting five.
Great.
Great. Is that how they determine who wins basketball games? By the cumulative total of
nope.
the ratings that you assign play? No.
Nope.
I tell you what generally decides it. Who's got the best player? And just, you know, obviously they're going to be in the starting five. All right. Out of our starting five and your starting five, who's the best player out of those 10 players? And in a matchup against the Bucks, it's Giannis. So it's far too reductive. I get it. And it's a shortcut to thinking and analysis and everything else. But damned if it doesn't hold true year after year, series after series in the NBA. Who's got the best player? Well, that's the team that's probably going to win it. And that's why Milwaukee scares me, because I think Giannis is the best player when you match up those starting five against the starting five of the Celtics. And they don't suck otherwise. DJ even said it. They're good defensively. And they have another quote-unquote kind of star player. Oh, well, that sounds like a pretty damn good basketball team to me. Got Giannis out there for you offensively, and you got a good defense? I don't know how you discount them from being the favorite in the East. Based on that alone. Jim makes some good points about Philly. I still like Milwaukee. I still like him.
I just don't buy in on the starting five being better, therefore you win. Nope. You know who wins? LeBron wins. That's who wins. And then, you know, when you're talking about a series with LeBron, the best player typically wins the series. It's the way it happens.
Yeah.
Giannis. Giannis wins.
Your starting five is better. What does that mean? Out of the five positions, three of your guys are better than the corresponding three from the other team? Okay. What's the differential between the other two that are better than yours? Well, one of them is Giannis.
You know how
Whoops.
Your brain...
Okay, well, I guess the conversation's over.
Yeah.
You know what usually breaks the ties in those things? Who has more of those big-time stars? Right, when LeBron loses. Oh, it's because he lost to a team with multiple stars. He's outnumbered. You know, that's sort of the way it goes.
It's easy to say after the fact. I'm not saying it's a great way of predicting because it doesn't always emerge until the actual series. But in the years that Golden State won, you could say it's because Kevin Durant was the best player throughout the season and certainly into the playoffs. You know, last year it was Kawhi Leonard. He was the best player in the series that they won to get to the finals, and he was the best player on the court in the finals series. That's why they won.
Let's talk to Bruce in Boston. He's been reconnected. Hey, Bruce.
Hey, fellas. Thanks. I appreciate you taking me back here. You know that awkward moment when you're walking down the road and you trip and you try to jog it out and play it off like it was real? That's what happened when I dropped that call after talking for about 20 seconds. But on the jerseys, look, I don't have a problem with it, but I agree with you guys. I think for sure they have the platform for it. I think this is absolutely insulting to all of the athletes' intelligence, and it completely undermines whatever message there truly is out there. And it shows the disconnect that the NBA truly has with the players, and really kind of points towards the societal issue that we have anyway. If they really want to make a point, they should allow the guys to put what they want on the back of the jersey, and the sales, 100% of the sales, should go to whatever that cause is rather than them making the money. So thanks for taking my call, and I'll hang up and listen.
That's good. It's a good idea.
I would start
by letting players put whatever they want on the back of the jersey.
I don't want to completely discount, you know, the NBA's role in this and saying that they've totally screwed it up, because they haven't. They could have just said no. They could have said, no, we're going to, no, you wear your name on the back of your jersey and you can say whatever you want in your press conferences and on your social. And they could have done that. So I give them some credit. I do. But they fell short, and now it appears to be they're pandering a little bit. And that's not the look or the relationship they want with the players at this point.
617-779-0985. We'll turn it over to McCone for headlines. They'll get you caught up on everything. We're right back. We got one more segment with your calls. We've got today's takeaways at 150.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Bap. Comes to sports, they're knowledgeable.
Tell me about a pie that doesn't have a top over it.
And always on their game.
I walk around my house naked all the time.
Solak, Ember, Trent, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Tuukka Rask has a fractured finger. That's the latest from the Bruins today.
What did he try to stop a Zdeno Chara slapper from out on the blue line, and it caught him just wrong? That's probably what happened.
Nope.
What?
It was in an athletic capacity.
Oh, did he have the blocker down? He was trying to stop like a puck from squeezing in, you know, kind of a sloppy goal, and someone got it with the stick. What happened?
He was doing box jumps.
Excuse me?
Box jumps.
But
you know what that is.
With the box, and you jump up on the box?
Yes.
And then you jump down and you jump up on the box?
Yes.
He broke his toe, you said?
Broke his finger.
Well, I don't understand.
He was on a call last week, and people saw on the Zoom call that he had a little splint on there. And so then today he was asked, hey, about that splint we saw, was that some sort of precautionary thing? What was that? What's going on? No, I fractured my finger a couple of weeks ago doing box jumps. It's getting better, so I'm not worried about it. It'll be all set when we start playing. I slammed my finger at the edge of the box.
Hey, Tuukka, thanks for doing this.
Yeah, no problem.
I had trouble hearing what you said about how you broke your finger.
I was doing box jumps.
Box jumps, okay.
Right. Yeah, I slammed my finger at the edge of the box, like it bent, you know, the ligament kind of fractured the finger. So there's a small fracture. It's not nothing major, but like you can probably imagine, not going to feel great to catch pucks with that.
And fingers are usually, they can't do much for, right? You just secure them.
Yeah, you know, I had the same kind of thing in my blocker hand when the pucks hit that. and it just gets sore. But this is a glove hand now, so it's a little different. But I'm not worried about it. It's just one of those things that it's going to linger a little bit. I mean, it's been, what, 2 or 3 weeks now, and it already feels a lot better. So, you know, I'm pretty optimistic that within a week I'll have my normal glove on.
He later added, and if I don't feel like playing, just send Halak in. think about the sort of the motion. You just slam.
Okay.
Before we even knew, Jim told me this, what, a half hour ago? I said, oh, he probably slammed it right on the side of the box.
Okay, from all the box jumps you've done?
No, but I've never done a box jump.
Have
you seen someone do one?
They're I don't know.
I guess. Shorted it. I thought that's what happened.
He shorted it.
Where he fell back.
Fell and braced himself.
Okay, have you ever injured yourself in a way that is like hard to explain? Like that one seems.
I kicked a table last week and stubbed my toe so badly that it's still sore today. I think it's about a week now.
No, you like purposely kicked the table out of anger?
No, it was an accident.
Oh, you stubbed your toe.
I caught it.
Okay. It turns out it wasn't broken. I thought I broke my hand. This was in seventh grade basketball. We were doing everyone up against the wall.
I may have a broken toe.
You're gonna jump up and you're gonna slap, you know, that line of cinder blocks there in the gym. All right. I lined up in front of one of the doors, one of the outer doors going to the gym. And as I went to jump up, I slammed the back of my hand into the push bar that opens the door. And I had to wear a brace on it for a while. Got it x-rayed. I thought it was broken. That's the type of injury that I'm looking for. Like, have you injured yourself in kind of an active way, but I'm not talking about, I pulled a hamstring getting out of bed. You know, those are embarrassing, but for completely different reasons. He broke his finger doing a box jump. I can't believe it.
No, he didn't break it. He fractured it.
What? He didn't bruise it. It's a contusion.
It's not like it's a clean break.
He didn't cut it. It's a laceration.
It's just a crack. He just cracked the
finger. Okay, well, it's broken. The bone is broken.
Sore. He'll be
it's
fine.
A broken bone.
You worried about it?
I don't think so.
No, I'm not worried about it.
I think it'll be fine. I think it'll be fine.
McCone says it's good.
He's good.
McCone, what's the oddest injury you ever incurred?
Seventh grade, same as you. I pulled my groin muscle during kickball. Overswung, this dropped. It was really embarrassing.
What
it was tough.
For.
Yeah.
Tough to pull a groin in the seventh grade. You're generally still pretty pliable at that age.
Yeah, but they have to get like walked out after, you know, it's just not a good scene. Not a good scene.
Seventh grade groin pull. I didn't even know that was a thing.
No, you don't.
Were you like 12?
Yeah, 12 or 13.
Yeah, 12 or 13.
To kick it.
Are you sure that's how you pulled the groin? Wasn't it overuse and some other activity? Self-exploration?
It was a path to self-discovery.
Yeah.
At that age that he was going through at that point in time. So that is something as an update today from the Bruins, from Tuukka Rask.
I'm not worried. It'll be fine.
I'm not too worried about that. I'm not.
See, Mario says his buddy dislocated his shoulder practicing the long jump in high school. This is something that requires a little more explanation. I'm sorry. Because the guy on the call with Tuukka is like, how'd you break your finger? I was doing a box jump. Oh, okay. And it's going to be, no. How? Yeah. How do you break a finger doing a box jump? I want to know how that guy dislocated his shoulder doing the long jump. Don't you want to know? Is what he landed in the pit and fell back?
It had to be what it was.
I guess, but still.
A violent swinging of the arm?
If I tell you I broke my leg skiing, I'm like, well, of course you did. That's what happens when you go skiing. You break your leg, dummy. You dislocated your shoulder long jumping? It just required a little more explanation. Now we have to sit here and deduce how he broke his finger.
He said he hit it off the side of the box. You swing your arms up. You bang it off the box. Need I say more?
It's got to be gentle. Be careful.
Well, you don't want to be too.
No, you don't want to
be rough.
Oh, right. It's correct.
Smooth. Up and down.
Yes.
On the box, off the box.
All right. It's not necessary what you're doing. I know what you're doing.
But it is. But it is.
Sean Silver. Thank you. Sean Silver. Torn rotator cuff, skipping rocks.
That's tough. What, as an adult? Had to be as an adult.
You ever seen a kid with a torn rotator cuff?
Well, yeah, like these, you know, 13-year-old kids that have been throwing curveballs for 4 years.
So yes. Good. That's great. Thank you.
Oh, man. That's such a dad thing.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I was skipping rocks, and I shredded my arm.
Just walking back from the lake. Just one arm.
Why do you think Uncle Rico throws sidearm now? Skipping rocks. That's why I was skipping rocks.
26 years old, he says.
Casey on Twitter. Wow. Worked at Boston Billiards back in the 90s. A coworker dislocated his shoulder on Golden Tee. I was trying to drive the green at a par four. You have to go up the side of the machine and try and pop it back in.
Serious question. What happened to all the Golden Tee machines? Why?
I don't know.
Why have they disappeared?
I think there's still one at the Last Drop in Brighton.
Are those all privately owned now? Are those all in people's homes somewhere? Like, you got a Golden Tee in my basement.
In the words of Robbie Roadsteamer, there are too many dudes in untucked dress shirts and seashell necklaces committing felonies on them. They had to get rid of them.
Today's takeaways are coming up next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
They give.
Give it to me. Give it to me now, damn it.
Tell me I'm wrong. I don't know how you could.
And they give.
We need to break news every day.
And they give.
I love breaking news.
Can't get this kind of analysis just anywhere.
And now, it's time to take.
That's not a hot take.
End of the day.
Hot takes from the day.
Today's takeaways with Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, The Sports Hub. That's me.
Today's takeaways are brought to you by Awaken 180. More on that in a moment here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. If you've been waiting for an in-person weekly coaching session, well, you're in luck. All Awaken 180 locations have reopened and are accepting new clients. Awaken180weightloss.com.
We discussed a little baseball today as it relates to crowd noise. We didn't get to this story, by the way. I didn't even know it was happening. The San Francisco Giants have a female first base coach now, Alyssa Knocken.
Hmm.
Did you know this was happening? Did you know they had hired her?
Nope.
I'm going to tell you right now, she's overqualified for the job.
What was she doing?
I know nothing about her. I don't know anything about her background.
But because she's a first base coach?
But she is overqualified for the job simply based on this. She had to have fought 100 times harder to become a Major League Baseball coach on a staff as a female than any of the males that have gained jobs in the sport. And by default, being a first base coach means that she is automatically overqualified for that gig because she is probably much more intelligent than the average first base coach in Major League Baseball, which is the easiest gig in all of sports. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah, can you operate a stopwatch and can you hold batting gloves?
Yep. Which tells me she's going to go on to great things because she is overqualified for the job she is doing right now. That's my thought on that. That's a thought. It's a positive thought of the day. A very positive day. No positive tests in the NBA or NHL. But in Major League Baseball, they're experimenting with their crowd noise, and sometimes it goes well, like this in Oakland.
He's trailing 3-0. We're in the bottom of the second, and Piscotty fouls it straight back. Good job on the effects mic down there, Mike Baird. The great Michael J. Baird. Nobody has been working any harder than he's been tricky from a technical standpoint, especially doing the games from here while the team's on the road. Well, Mike does a great job. Now the pitch, and Piscotty, it's a high fly ball left field. Slater going back, still going back, at the track, right to the wall, leaping, and I think he hit it out. And Piscotty got it out. And the A's are on the board. It's a 3-1 ball game. So Stephen Piscotty homers about 10 feet to the right of the 362 mark. And the A's are on the board.
It's pretty good.
Okay, that's pretty good.
That's pretty good.
Now the positive good use of the sound effects and crowd noise does not apply to the entire Golden State, because this happened in the Dodgers broadcast.
And here's the pitch. And there's a fly ball into left center field, way back, and that one is gone. A home run. It is Mookie's turn to trot around the diamond.
That sounds like Nintendo in 1988.
If you just change the word pitch to hit, it sounds good. Crack. And here's the hit.
And here's the pitch.
It's like the crowd in Excite Bike when you finish the race.
A home run.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
It ends abruptly, too. I don't think that's edited. That just ends.
Oh, no, that's a bad use of sound.
Well, that track runs out. What are you going to do? You know?
It's like they called Louth and said, Louth, can you find us a sound effect for a cheering crowd?
And a home run.
Oakland broadcast was T-Bone. Dodgers was Louth. Fair to say?
And the- that's
even
an elephant.
Mixed in the elephant?
Even mixed in the elephant.
Good
work, T-Bone.
I could identify it. It was part of the cognitive test. That's an elephant.
Have you seen the test?
Yeah.
Have you taken the test?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not hard.
Well.
Those last five questions.
I mean, you know, I'm like, all right, okay. All right, let me get to the bottom.
Not seeing
Still
it.
Still waiting for the brain teaser.
And here's the pitch.
Is there a puzzle here at the end or something? Is there
at least a jumble?
New York Times crossword? What the hell's at the end? I got my money on Chris Wallace to complete it with no problems. Let's get to what really aggravated Hardy today. As expected, it's the only reason we played it.
It sounds like a karaoke version of R.E.M. Losing My Religion. That's what I thought you were playing.
The start of it does.
When it first started.
That's what they did. They rolled the karaoke version, and Darius Rucker did this.
I wasn't even bothered by it until I heard his explanation and how he's such a huge REM fan in high school and college, and he met like-minded musicians, and they finally wanted to pay tribute, and they're going to pay tribute by recording Losing My Religion. That's so lame. Beetle, you're a baseball guy. You love Bruce Springsteen, right? I'm a huge Bruce fan. I've been a huge Bruce fan my whole life, so I'm going to, you know what I'm going to do to pay tribute? Born in the USA, and I'm going to record it and release it, and it's going to sound exactly like the original.
I thought we'd do Hungry Heart instead.
Dude, are you...
What does Zoe say? Play the hits, right?
Yeah,
play the hits.
Yeah. That's what Hootie does. And even if it's not their hit, we just play hit songs. Nothing wrong with it. They'd be a hell of a cover bar band. They'd be a great cover
bar band.
That's
pretty much what they are.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean you can't like it.
It just means I'm not going to feel passionate about it.
But again,
I'm not going to feel a lot of...
I didn't know you were so anti-Hootie. No, you're pretty passionate about it, Hardy.
Hardy is more passionate,
About people
than anyone else is about the band.
No. McCone really likes Hootie. He really... And you went to see him in concert.
I don't...
You left your house to go see this.
Yeah, it was great. I like Hootie, but I don't love the solo wagon wheel. Act
good.
It's not really as good. I think Hootie's at their best when they're playing their own songs.
Yes, well, nobody can cover Hootie.
And like
that's
a,
the great
like
irony.
Hootie
can cover anyone, but nobody can cover Hootie.
I need REM to come out with "Hold My Hand" so bad now.
You know, REM has covered songs over the years. We play, they do the cover of Midnight Blue. Like, that's inspired. That's like a kind of a rare track. Why not do something like that? We're huge REM fans. How big? How big? What are you doing? Something from The Reckoning? What are you going back to a deep cut on Murmur? What are you doing? No, we're doing their biggest hit. What do you think? What do you think? We're actual artists? No, we're Hootie and the Blowfish. Why don't you calm down? A lot of good injuries being tweeted to us, too, Beetle.
Who? Who's just, injured?
Just everybody.
Oh, people's injuries that they've had.
Yeah. I mean, Sean Silver takes the cake with
he wins the
torn rotator cuff skipping rocks. But I like the guy who sprained his ankle doing chin-ups.
That's a good one.
So thank you for those.
What are we going to do tomorrow?
Best
Can we get some games already?
Best
This
up.
Is it. This is the week we ran out of content. We need the games. Finally, we ran out.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Noah says it like they do.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you mean?
Felger and Mads.
I'm just making it up. Totally making it up.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, hi to everybody. Welcome into the program. Felger and Maserati coming to you on Tuesday, July 21st. We got Maz and I on location. Big Jim Murray from our Town Fair Tire Studios in Dorchester. Maz, how you doing, kid?
Good, you?
Peachy, thank you so much. Hi, Jim.
Hello.
Hi. So you just heard the update there from McBone, and Big Jim Murray will be updating you throughout the day. I think it's a story that's one of the bigger ones. I think it's one of the bigger stories and bigger developments we've had here in the pandemic and our life without sports here in the apocalypse, Maz. And that is the NFL preseason going bye-bye. And I guess it's not official, but it's been widely reported. It feels like the owners have already given it away. And I got to tell you, I think it's a big deal. I think it's a big deal. I think it's a big loss. I think it's a big deal on a couple different fronts. I think it's impactful in a couple different fronts.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.